This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust, and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
Let's go!
How we feeling today, Bingetown? It's your boy, PD, a.k.a. Producer Dave here, and with me I have Luke and Paul. Today we are here to discuss Season 5, Episode 2 of Adult Swim's Ricky and Morty. And I'm pretty sure this episode was a decoy because I didn't know what the fuck was going on that whole time. I just have a feeling that this is going to be kind of a quick recording. I'll just hand it over to Luke to flesh out some of the details of the show.
Yeah, I was texting everybody in the chat, that in our Rick and Morty chat, saying that the first half of this episode is going to straight just be a quick 2-minute summary and we'll talk about the fun parts of it. But there's just so much going on here. I think this episode was good in the ideas that it brought forward and showed in the sci-fi way. I thought it was all really well done, but I will say I didn't laugh that much. I didn't think it was that funny. So maybe the rewatch value isn't as great, but it was definitely a good episode. I think we're 2 for 2 so far in the season.
I didn't really actually have many quotes from this episode because I agree. It wasn't like nothing really stood out to me that much this episode.
I missed the last Rick and Morty episode and it was a shame, but I thought episode 1 of season 5 was phenomenal. You were talking about a little bit of the controversies that people are kind of seeing with it. And the theme of Rick not being super all powerful is coming up more often than it ever did. But that being said, I don't care. I mean, the show is like absolutely phenomenal. It's so funny. You can't expect this show to do anything because they're going to do whatever the hell they want. And it's going to be amazing. So this episode, like you said, didn't laugh too much, but there was just unbelievable. How do you write this scenes? And it's just so good because you never know what's coming.
And it was an all-timer for me, at least the post-credit scene with Wood Jerry. I don't even know what to call that guy, but Wood Jerry.
Yeah, yeah. Wooden Jerry. Yeah.
Decoy.
I think this is just one of those episodes where just Roiland gets to flex his just sci-fi creativity because just another episode of where anything can happen and how things can just get out of hand. So always fun watching Rick and Morty. I feel like I've never hated an episode, you know, like all of them are at least going to meet my expectations of being enjoyable to watch.
Oh yeah, for sure. So with that being said, we can just crush the first beginning of this part of the episode where our first few scenes have us seeing the first decoy family of many. And they just are introing us into the idea that whenever a decoy family is killed by the quote unquote squids, which we find out later are just other decoys, a new Rick gets an alert that his decoy that he created was killed. And then we also get introduced to Mr. Always Wants to Be Hunted, who has a crazy scene later in the episode.
Is that his name?
Yeah.
Mr. Always Wants to Be Hunted.
Hunt me. I tried taking notes for this and my beginning notes are Rick and Morty are going to kill God. They're going to whack his ass. Street style. Jerry has a job interview. Something's off. Decoy family died. And then I just stopped taking notes because I was like, it's impossible to keep up.
It truly is. This is my notes are a fucking mess. So if I'm all over the place, that's why. But speaking of that, that was my favorite part of the beginning, of course, is that they say Christian God's real and he's been sleeping for the last couple thousand years. We're going to go kill him. I am very curious if that's just a throwaway funny line, which I like it enough for it to be just that, but if they could bring the Christian God into an episode in a future.
Did they say Christian God?
Yeah, they
I just took it. Oh, okay. Well, because I was taking it as like they're gonna go kill God. Because one of the shitty decoys was talking about how there's some God asshole out there, you know, that created all of this for us and we're gonna go kill him.
I think that's what I was referring to, Rick.
Rick, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's why I thought in the beginning when it was the decoy family talking about God, I thought they were referring to Rick as well, but I think they said Christian God.
I thought they were talking about God. I thought that was hysterical. We're going to go wax his ass. It could be another line. They could make a reference to it. I never, ever thought we were going to get anything about Atlantis. What was that? Season 3, when they have all the Ricks and the Mortys and the Citadel of Ricks, and you know, it's the election. And they come in and Rick talks about slamming mermaid push. You guys talked about it a little bit last episode. You thought it would, you would never reference it again, but for the diehard fans, season 5, episode 1, they just opened it up with slamming mermaid puss. And it was like, it's so good.
And that's what I was bringing up in the last episode, the podcast, where we're in a better position to scrutinize every single line now than we've ever been through all of Rick and Morty, because we keep saying it, they have a 10 season extension. So everything that they say now, they can eventually, if they run out of ideas, just go back to an old episode, pick a line like this with the Christian God and make it all about killing him. Like, they could do that so easily and it would be awesome.
Like, Steely from Interdimensional Cable might come in and like steal something.
All of that is just
like,
good.
It's just so good.
All right. So moving through the next portion of the episode here, I'm going to mark each transition from family to family as decoy death. That's just how the only way I could keep my notes kind of making some sense. So after our first family dies, we have Rick explaining to the second family, he's bringing up Space Beth. And this is the important part of the episode that lays the foundation, is after Space Beth, which was the end of last season, Rick ended up making buffer families, which are just cloned families all throughout the country, whose entire goal is just to take bullets for the real family and alert them when there's a threat out there, which kind of makes sense. That's something that Rick would absolutely do. And once the family gives us this information, they end up getting killed. There's a decoy death here. And this cues the next, you know, there's a whole montage of families dying here. We have the Wenwolf family who dies right after. So after the Wenwolf family, we go to a quick, there's an important line that happens for one of these next decoy families. And it cuts into this family sitting around the table. And Rick says to the family, look, if you really want to know what happened to Beth's mom, ... and gets cut off right away, right?
Yep.
That line is fucking wild, because that's twice already we've mentioned Diane's her name throughout this season. And I can't tell if the writers are fucking with us and dangling this in front of us, or if they're really going to start focusing on putting more plot littered throughout these episodes.
It's literally dangling it. It's literally them being assholes. I feel like they just know that the people want to know that backstory, and they're just like, oh, we're just gonna like casually slip this in there to just piss them off.
But I don't know, because last episode, talking to Mr. Nimbus, when Mr. Nimbus brings up Diane, how would she feel? Rick says, don't you like bring canon and backstory into this and become relevant? So for them to call it canon in that episode, we always argue you can't take anything too much as canon, because they're gonna do whatever the hell they want and go crazy. This one, you kind of have to take it if they're literally saying Diane existed.
I think they're going to eventually, we'll get the whole story on. I just think right now they know that they're purposely being dicks about it. And they're just
purposely.
Like, yeah, they know they're what they're doing. Like, everyone wants these questions answered, but they're teasing us.
That being said, do you think we're going to get an alive version of Diane in one timeline or another? Not including flashbacks.
Ooh. Now that you mention it, in a timeline, I think yes, because I was instantly thinking in a flashback maybe, but I think it may be in an alternate timeline, like he manages to not fuck that situation up.
So it's confusing, because season 3, episode 1, when he breaks out of jail, and you know, he's there in his brain, they're trying to get that information. He does say basically he has Diane and another daughter, I want to say. There was another daughter that wasn't Beth, but
Kyle's sister.
Kyle.
Could have been, yeah. But other Ricks come to him and say, create the portal gun, join the Citadel of Ricks. And he's like, no, I'm good, because I have my family. So that being said, all the other Ricks didn't have a Diane. Okay. Did they all have one and then they all killed him off? Or is there going to be one existing? It's crazy.
So I don't know. I kind of hope they don't bring her. At least it's not too soon. I like the idea of being similar to Pearl from SpongeBob, mom, how you'll just never see this character alive, because that's kind of the foundation of Rick.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of like that idea. So
it will either make a lot of fans happy or piss them off. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
just leave her out of it.
I did miss one thing here that's worth mentioning, is one of the decoy deaths in the montage that happens early is when they're in Italy and they start having a conversation that Rick tells the family. He says, that's what decoys are for. They go on fun, self-contained terrestrial adventures and take bullets that are meant for us. But the self-contained terrestrial adventures is probably the most important line of this whole episode, because that just, to us, tells us that only the family at the end that's off Earth is the real family. And that makes complete sense. And I'm totally fine with that. And it also explains why none of the Ricks throughout this episode used the portal gun.
So insane. I mean, off the bat, I think it was family 3 or 4. They're like, all right, we're going to go to a decoy family, wait for the squids and jump them. And then they walk in, they freeze the family, and Morty comes in and he's like, whoa, just like Westworld. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just like Westworld. Don't fuck them. And then later that scene, they hide. because another family comes in, and he comes in and freezes the family and then goes, oh my God, just like Ex Machina. Yeah, yeah, just like Ex Machina. Just don't fuck him. It's just so good.
I actually didn't pick that up, that it was just the same exact scene minus the movie.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
It was just awesome. Yeah, same type of same idea, the same movie, just don't fuck him.
So what you were getting at right there is the continuation of all these montages, right? We have the Rick starting to repeat the loops, and now as audience members, you're really starting to figure out where this episode's kind of heading, where there's going to be an infinite amount of decoys, and decoys make decoys, and decoys make decoys.
It was funny because me and Paul were watching together not even like an hour ago, and when we were watching, I was like, a decoy family would die, and I'd look over and be like, all right, is this the real family? Mm-hmm. And he'd be like, no. We do it a couple more times, and finally I got to a point where I was like, all right, this is the real family, and it's like a little bit longer of an adventure.
Yeah, they get a couple lines.
And then they die, and then I'm just like, fuck, I'm just going to stop asking Paul if this is the real family, because I'm seeing a theme here of them, none of them being the family.
Well, the first time you probably have that thought is the Rick that says, you know, if you really want to know what happened to Beth's mom, before I think Jerry walks in with the lemon squares that are lemon free.
Yeah. Gluten free, sugar free, and lemon free. And everybody's like, what the fuck?
That's the family that gets the most airtime, at least in the first half of the episode, because they're the ones that go and see and hide from the Ex Machina Rick or Morty that comes in.
Yeah.
But the culmination of those three families all being there is when that crazy fight ensues. And this is really the first main big fight between families. And it ends with another decoy family death of this new family burning down the house that the three families were just fighting in, right?
Yeah, it's so ridiculous.
Because this part right here, after that Rick takes a flamethrower laser and burns the house down with the other families in it, he whips out the whiteboard to explain what's going on.
Oh, okay.
And then this is where, hit me with the names of the things, Dave.
Oh, the Asimov Cascade. So real quickly, it's just based on Isaac Asimov, who was the guy who created the three laws of robotics, you know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's just a play on that, and the fact that Rick created a decoy that was almost as smart as him, just could create ideas that were identical to his. So that's why we get that cascade effect, because that decoy is smart enough to realize that he should create decoys, and then he creates a decoy that can also realize he can create decoys. So that's just Isaac Asimov is just that guy who
I appreciate that so much more now that you explain that.
There was a whole article based on it, but I was just like, okay, it's just at simplest, let's just explain the law of robotics.
Yeah.
And then they also do mention game theory too, which is basically what Rick follows to his core. Game theory being that if there's two prisoners, prisoner A and B, let's say A thinks that B is going to betray him, A is going to betray him before B does, but there's a vice versa. But when in fact, in reality, if both of them work together, it would just be better for both of them. That's why Rick refuses to work with any other Rick, is because he knows eventually an alternate version of himself is going to betray him. So that's why he doesn't do this.
You know? That was so funny. It was just two Ricks in a shootout, and the camera's facing one Rick talking to his Beth, saying like, oh, like that piece of shit, he's a decoy, but he thinks he's real. And then it cuts to the other Rick that he's having to shoot out with, and he's finishing the same sentence.
Yeah.
And he was like, that motherfucker is going to take me out, because even if he does realize he's a decoy, he knows I'm going to kill him. And it just goes on and on. But Luke, so when did it cut to them running in the woods? Because that's when I was like, oh, wait, this is supposed to be the real family.
We're close to that.
It's starting to get real.
So yeah. Okay. So the last couple things that happened before that scene are Rick established that, say the effect one more time.
The Asimov.
Asimov effect. And then the Highlander rules, where there can only be one. So he knows that all the Ricks are going to kill each other until there's one left.
Has anybody here seen Highlander?
Unfortunately, no.
Yeah, I've heard the movie. Like, I think they make a lot of references in Family Guy, too, of Highlander. But I just never.
Yeah,
I've never seen
it. It's referenced everywhere. It's such a famous movie. But yeah, I haven't seen it. As Rick is explaining all of that stuff on the whiteboard, he talks about how the decoys are going to get less and less realistic as you go down the line, and the decoys are making their decoys. It just, there's more variants.
That was sweet. He was like, one Rick will get lazy and then create another Rick who's just a little bit lazier.
Yeah. The family's trying to decide what to do about all the squids that are keep attacking him, because they don't know at this point that it's other decoys. So Rick proposes the idea to use a mock squid ship.
So funny. Holy shit. Just seeing them in their poorly made squid suits. Every suit that they're in, Beth is bitching about, like, it smells like shit.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Summer says that.
Or Summer, sorry, yeah. Not Beth. Yeah.
But
Summer.
Actually, that brings me to a point I want to talk to you guys about, because maybe it was me specifically. I made a point on last episode, because we were hyping Summer up. She had such a good first episode of the season. And you brought up, Dave, I think, how Rick cares about the family a lot more, and that could be part of the reason he's less of a god now. But this episode, they pulled he pulled specifically no punches on Summer. Anytime she talked, they were just like, shut the fuck up.
Even from the get go, when they talked about killing God, Summer's like, oh, can I come?
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, no, Summer, fuck you. Oh, don't ruin it.
That's surprising because I feel like she's been a homie recently and been going on a lot of adventures.
We've gotten over that hurdle. I agree. Because Rick, he's had chances where he could have offered more to go on adventures, but he's offered it to Summer. This shouldn't be anything new to him, like her wanting to be a part of this.
And also, they are decoys. So I guess you can write it off as they're not. It's not the actual Summer.
To go to your point though about him caring about the family more, he does have a line where Beth's like, does creating sentient life get you hard? No, protect my family gets me hard. And they're like, ew, what the fuck? Ew.
And also another great line here is, so they're in their mock squid ship and they're asking Rick why the squids want to kill him. He goes, I don't know, they're either jealous of my penis size, I've had sex with their queen, my dick is too big. Who knows?
It is so fucking funny. He gives three reasons and two of them are his dick. So I think it was basically a play on The Matrix, kind of towards the end when they like save him. Matrix Revelations, the third one.
Like, oh, yeah, when Morty's like, squids are here, right? And like that's kind of being in the their main hideout.
Yeah, I think that was the main point, but the squids were just other decoys that, you know, we're trying. They had a way better disguises than fucking that one Rick did.
All right. So the next couple things that happen here are we have this family that's in the squid vehicle who's been getting a lot of screen time. They end up killing another squid ship and go down to see what happened and like who they are so they can defeat them. They've realized there that they are other decoy families. And that's when the Jerry of that family dropped the bomb and kills them. So now that's another decoy death of that family.
Paul called that, though, I will say. When we were watching it and like they shot the ship down, Paul was like, watch them like take off the mask and it just be another family. And that's exactly what happened. I was like, damn, Paul, like you're getting this.
So this is the true decoy death montage where we just have, you see probably like six or seven families just killing each other in a chain. We have a couple things where like Rick's got this cool chameleon skin on where he's stabbing people. There's a drive-by shooting of the Smiths rolling up with their guns and the fucking AKs at the other house. We have Rick in a lab pulling out the decoy tab in his brain to know that he's a decoy. So a bunch of things here happen. I think squids are meeting up in the air and realizing they're both decoys and killing themselves. Like all these things are happening. And then Paul, that's when it kicks us to the next time you think you're looking at the real family where they're running through the woods and you get the good line where Rick's just like, it's too quiet. And Summer's like, you skipped quiet because it's fucking obviously quiet if it's too quiet, which is a great line.
Yeah, but you're supposed to say quiet. I loved that. And then they all get fucking hit. And then you just see this monstrosity dragging them. And then this is where we get the explanation where a Rick will create a decoy that's a little bit lazier of a Rick, who's going to create a little bit lazier of a Rick. And all of a sudden, the work gets worse and worse and worse until it gets to this fucking guy.
I want to say, I think they make a Blade Runner reference in this episode, like real briefly. It's when Summer's in the mirror and she uses a razor blade to cut her skin open because she's like, I don't know if I'm a decoy or not. And she like gets, she sees the blood. And she's like, oh, I'm not a decoy. But then Rick just rips off her.
Is that what that's from?
Yeah. Blade Runner. There's a specific scene where the guy is like really questioning his intel, like if he's a robot or not. Mm-hmm. And he just fucking cuts his arm open.
It's the same thing. It's probably where he is a robot. Sees the blood or something.
So the scene might've just ended there. So it's kind of up to debate whether he was or wasn't. Like it's something that like, it doesn't specifically tell you, but I think that was a Blade Runner reference.
Good catch there.
This gross Rick with all his other disgusting decoys just dissected out in the wall and stuff like that. The one Rick with all of his skin off. And oh, then they end up getting saved by like the wooden decoys, like the weird ones that love the varnish. Jerry loves the varnish.
Yeah, the varnish.
And Morty's like, isn't that dangerously close to blackface?
But I definitely think it was probably insanely fun to draw that scene where you just have all these like families being like tortured and taken apart and stuff. But yeah, what the fuck was up with that weird family? Because Rick had the other members of the family in a cage. They were all disgusting and Beth was like creepy as shit and they were gonna eat the skin decoys.
I thought they were just gonna wear the skin.
So they
looked like more realistic than just
Beth
ugly.
Was like, am I gonna be pretty yet? And he did say, yeah, I'll be done as soon as I get more of this delicious skin. So I think that's where you got eating the skin from.
That's disgusting.
And I do want to say this. I mentioned this right before the podcast, but I just want to have it on record here is in one of these montages of decoy families killing each other, we get a reference to last week's season 5 premiere episode of suicide capsules. So in episode 1, at some point, Rick mentions to his family, like, there are suicide capsules in all of your teeth. Do what you want with that. Just implying, like, you guys should just fucking kill yourselves. You're driving me up a wall. This episode, we see actually one of the Ricks, one of the decoy Ricks, choking out another decoy. And as that decoy is being choked out, he cracks his tooth.
And instantly, that, like, and vaporizes him,
or like blows his head up or something. So those are, that was in reference. So we see the suicide teeth pill thing.
That's
so
awesome. That's incredible.
So good.
Yeah.
They are just so good at, for rewarding the Die Hard fans for paying attention.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. So after the Wood family brings the, I don't even know what the family that got caught by the ugly Ricks to the cause base, the squid show up. Paul, you already brought up that line where Morty runs in, and that's the Matrix reference. I think it checks out. And then that's when Wood Jerry fucks over his Wood family
because he wants all the varnish to himself.
Yeah. So put a pin in that until later, because that's the my favorite. Off the top of my head, that might be my favorite post-credit montage.
I don't know why. The first one I think of post-credit is Morty, that when he turns into a car in the middle of class.
Because
earlier in the episode, Rick's like, I planted it in you. Think, Morty, turn into a car. He's like, never mind, I called a taxi.
That was the In His Engine episode, right?
I think it was. Yeah, exactly what it was.
After all of the cause members are dead, that's another whole just decoy death right there. We flash to a different group of Smiths, and this is the sad Smiths, relatively happy actually for the situation, the ones that are standing in the ocean, just kind of waiting, accepting the inevitable, because Rick explains using rule 34, if I've thought of it, they've all thought of it. It's been thought of, right? So
no place to hide.
Yeah, they just wait for their inevitable death.
I was researching the Asimov cascade, and you know what rule 34 actually means?
No.
If there's anything written, there's like porn about it or something.
Yeah, so the Rule 34 of the internet essentially means that if something exists, there will be porn of it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Don't go to that Reddit page. It's disgusting.
Funny line here that happened when that Ocean family was dying is they're talking about bucket list items. And after Summer does hers, just peeing in the ocean, Rick asks Jerry, what's your bucket list item? And I think he says, I want to see a baseball game in every MLB stadium. And he goes, nope. All right, Morty, what do you want?
Nope. Morty, what do you want to do?
So after the Squid family killed the Ocean family, we have this Rick who says, all right, it's time to end all this shit. They go back to the Smith house, and he goes back to his laboratory, and he projects that blue version of himself to be a beacon that pulls everybody together to have the final battle. That's essentially what that is.
He's getting ready, and he's like putting the goggles on. He's like, fucking, come on, come on. Help yourself up. He slapped himself. He's like, get centered. And he's getting ready, and then he puts on a show, and then he's just saying the most ridiculous shit, the most antagonizing shit to get you to come attack him. He's like, yeah, I can take you all on. My balls hang so low. Like, all this random shit. He always goes back to his dick and ball size.
Says, when he's taunting everybody, he goes, oh, this, I know what you're thinking. That's totally what the Rick as Rick would do. Maybe I'm a decoy. Now you got to come find out.
Yeah.
He's just killing it.
He calls his creation the Star Fox boss of season 4. The boss he's referring to is Andross. I've never played Star Fox, but he was the dude in Super Smash Bros. Who in the background was that giant white face that would spew projectiles at you.
No shit.
Yeah, so that's what that is. I think Justin Roiland's like a big Star Fox fan.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Yeah,
that's
so amazing. I think that's what the reference was to there.
That's incredible. Wow, there are so many good references this episode.
Yeah, good ones.
Is this the final big fight?
So yeah, I'll lead us into that, because the last thing that happens before the climax of all these families fighting, is we flash quickly to the president, who's made aware of all these Rick Sanchez's that are fighting in the Southwest states. And his answer to it is, of course, something petty. He says, sounds exhausting. How many of those states voted for me anyway?
Yeah, I loved it.
And he's like, shut up, white boy. Go get me a Coke or something like
that. I thought it was so funny.
Yeah,
I like seeing the president this early on, even if it was for like 10 seconds, because we're gonna get him fucking again, and him and Rick have a great arch rivalry going. So
he's one of my favorite side characters in the entire series.
So I'm glad that even if it was just a piece of him, that just shows that the writers are fully prepared to bring him back, I think, in this season.
Oh yeah, he's gonna be up to something. Now we flash back to the Smith house under the big projection of Rick in the sky. It's just like a Star Wars battle. This house is in complete lockdown mode. It's got a fucking shield around it. It has the guns on top, you know, it got anti-air guns up there. It's just an incredible fight. All these Ricks and Smith families just flying in and them just using all the tech in the background. I'm sure if you were to pause it at like each scene, like there's something new you could find of them using some sort of weapons.
So I'm doing that actually. But the only thing I see is just like of all the ships, like you get the squid ships and then there's just like also multiple shitty squid ships. So it's not even just like that Rick family that was doing it.
These lazy Ricks, man.
These lazy Ricks. And then some of them are actually really good, but it's just funny.
There's just a lot of action here. I just felt I couldn't even write it down. It would just not even sound good. The next thing I had written down was the Muppet Rick and Beth.
Oh, so. No, let's just go right into that. It was just a cool like galactic battle we saw, but this is great.
Epic.
We were cracking up. I'll let you explain the scene, but we're watching these Muppets talk. And we're like, all right, so like, no fucking way, like, they're the real ones. They're saying, oh, if I'm real and all this other shit, and they look disgusting. They look like dumb fucking Muppets. Of course you're a fucking decoy.
That's straight up what it was. They were decoys wearing other decoys. And just, I don't know what the showrunners were thinking doing that, but it was just a funny moment. And it's where that Rick and Beth make up, which doesn't actually matter because they're not the real Smiths.
I was looking at Dave. I was like, wait. These are 100% the real ones. This is insane. They got me like 7 times. Yeah. And that was their goal. So the first like 5 or 6 families, you're like, all right, this might be the real one. Then you're like, all right, they're all fucking fake. I'm not going to fall for it again.
Yeah.
So then they do this Muppet ass looking family and trick you into thinking it's the real one. And I was convinced. And next thing you know, boom.
So when the Muppets make up, they jump in the ship to go. I guess they think the battle's winding down. They want to be the ones to kill the last family. And there's a great scene here where that Rick is looking at the Rick defending his house. And he goes, fuck, that guy's awesome. He might be the actual Rick.
Yeah.
And then he crashes. The Muppet Rick that crashes and lands should have died off that. But anyway, he stands up and whips out the double fire version of the Halo swords, which were just so fucking cool. And then this is when, you're right, I guess that family really faces off against their counterparts because we have the quick Summer versus Summer fight, which was hilarious too. And then that goes into the Morty versus Morty fight. But for the Summer versus Summer fight, they're like holding the knives at each other and they're trying to trick each other. Oh man, maybe we shouldn't kill each other yet. We got to try Molly.
Yeah.
And then she just slowly shoves the fucking knife into her chest.
Yeah. And then she walks off and it's Morty v. Morty. And she's like, Summer, help me. And she's like, I don't know which one to shoot. I don't know. I had to kill myself. You have to kill yourself. Figure it out. It turns around and walks away.
If you didn't catch it, Morty was literally using a spoon as a weapon on the other Morty. It wasn't even like a knife. It was literally a spoon.
That's
the one utensil they say you can't kill anybody with.
Yeah, that's like the Purge episode in season 2.
Oh my God, it is.
Yeah. But like Rick's trying to, he's on the phone with Summer trying to punch in the coordinates. And he's fighting one of the purges off. He's like, throw me something. And he throws him a spoon and he does kill him with it. But afterwards he goes, a spoon, Morty, the one thing in the kitchen you can't kill somebody with.
They legitimately 100% thought about that in this moment, without a doubt. That's so amazing that you pointed that out too. That's
impressive. Yeah.
Just classic Morty.
As this is all winding down, we think we have our winners. We think we have the OG family that's back, right? After, I think this is when they do the suicide pill. Like, he kills that final Rick with the suicide pill.
Yeah, yeah.
And then that's when, you know, he's like asking the other family members, like, are you the one I came with? They're like, I guess. Who cares?
Yeah,
who
it doesn't cares even matter at this point. Yeah.
And then that's when Mr. Always Wants to Be Hunted reappears and kills everybody. Just out of fucking nowhere.
You should have hunted me.
He has to come back, right? Or like,
do you think?
I don't think we're ever going to get an explanation. I don't know.
Because Rick says, like, what, who are you? Like, did we tee you up or something? Like, what the fuck's going on?
Did we tee you up? Honestly, it could be the real Rick's decoy cleanser.
Kind of like Rick to me, almost. Like a
no way.
He was a Mr. Poopy Butthole, like decoys.
He has an oval. It looked like Mr. Poopy Butthole.
It was Mr. Poopy Butthole and Noob combined into this weird looking fucking guy with a target on him.
I would assume that they're going to bring him back because that's just good merchandising opportunity right there.
It's such a tease, too, that like it ends with him killing that family. And then we just go to the final scene of the episode where it's the actual family. We know it's the actual family because they're in space and they have Space Beth with them. So that answers our question because we were asking that about in the last episode because we didn't get to see her. Like, where did season 4 leave off? Is she with him or not? So I guess she left, or at least is not living at home, and they went to go pick her up and like meet up with her or something.
They just said we even ran into Space Beth. So I guess they were out doing like a casual family adventure and picked her up. Mm-hmm. But a couple important things with this is the obvious thing we were pointing out earlier is that this has to be the real family because they're not self-contained to the to Earth anymore. So this is obviously the family. And when Rick says something about Space Beth, he says maybe this will happen more often, but she goes out of her way to say, eh, I wouldn't count on it or something like that. So of course that's the writers just poking at us. Like maybe this will be more common and maybe not, but I'm genuinely shocked that she made an appearance two episodes since her last one.
Yeah. Yeah, I was very hype, but at the same time, I was pissed because we didn't get any dialogue from her.
Yeah.
She was in it for like 10 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think next week episode is going to involve her?
That would be wild if it was like them landing and like getting out.
I saw the preview for next episode. It doesn't look like it. But anyway, after Beth, after Rick says that line about maybe Space Beth will be around, his sensor goes off and he goes, oh my God, someone killed the decoy family. And it just cuts.
We and Dave were like, what the fuck? That's the end? Like, that's how they're going to leave us.
I thought it was so good.
Genius.
And I'm really happy that it's a general consensus among fans that that is the real family in space. But of course, you could always say it's not. But yeah, I think that's kind of the point.
Yeah, I mean, that's the family we see there is not the original family from season one, episode one either. You know, Rick and Morty are living in some other dimension of.
Well, that's a question that I saw was commonly talked about, especially on Reddit, as like one of the main talking points was, is this still C-137? I think is what it is. Yes. C-137, Rick and Morty. Obviously, it's not Beth and Jerry, because they in like the first, second episode. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's confirmed, and you could never really prove it unless the writers came out and said,
oh, no, they're not dead. They're just they're in the insect realm, right?
Yeah, the prom.
The original family outside of Rick and Morty. Yeah.
They're ripped. Oh, my God. I have that same top. All right. So post-credit scene?
Yeah, so that wraps up the regular episode, and the post-credit scene picks back up with what Jerry was doing, and explain to me what he was doing right in the beginning when he steps into the water.
So that was the varnish that he had. That was all the varnish that he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just putting it all over himself because apparently what Jerry is obsessed with it. There's only so much varnish to go around.
What was the going in the water part? I didn't even understand that.
So I think he was just going in the water just to fucking
just be free.
Be a log.
Float. He literally is floating down the river, just like being a log.
Exactly. But his worst enemy, the beavers, showed up and just took him over.
And they end up destroying him and making him into the dam and taking off all of his limbs. So he's basically just a conscious decoy that has to live through all of this. So what happens is the dam starts flooding and the water level starts rising. He thinks he's going to drown and die. He's at peace with it.
He's like, oh, thank God. Death.
Sweet death or something like that. He opens his eyes. You got to think thousands of years in the future when the next race of sentient life is on Earth, because it's just talking animal people. Oh,
I was like, damn, that must have been like forever. Thousands of years.
The woodpecker walks by and starts fucking with him.
It's kind of like Futurama. There's an episode where they like Fry basically can only go forward in time, and he goes so far and forward in time eventually that he finds his own reality again, but just it's 6 feet lower. But I just want to say,
that's amazing.
But so while he's going through the time, 5,000 years pass, and then the apes are the people of the future, and then like another 1,000 years, and then it's like the orcas are the people of the future. Nice. So it's kind of like that.
That did happen when, you know, it gets the cowboys and Indians, and then it goes to the next one, and he's on the cross. He was like, Christianity? You guys went cowboys to Indians and then went all the way back? What the hell?
It made me think of that Futurama episode.
So one other thing that people were saying, when he does first wake up with the dust coming off of him and the woodpecker and that dolphin person, when Keegan-Michael Key came on as that like floating nutsack from the timekeepers or whatever the hell that was, when he was calling his buddy in that post-time scene, he was like, yeah, Earth, the dirt planet. No. If you go on to the dolphin people, you've gone too far.
Oh, so, yeah.
I mean, this was dolphin people, and it was supposed to be like eons into the future.
Yeah.
So, you know, it could have been a continuation of that.
Either way, just great post-credit scene. So much development for Earth in the future.
Oh, so good.
And it's funny that they poke at Christianity twice in this episode, to start it off and to end it.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
But I do want to say, too, that the Highlander movie was a big premise of this show, and apparently at the very end, while the wooden Jerry is like living through his hell and everything, the song playing is Who Wants to Live Forever by Queen, who wrote that song specifically for the movie Highlander.
Damn.
Yeah. So there's just more levels to this shit.
Onions, baby.
Yeah. Can you imagine the amount of references we constantly miss, even after scrutinizing?
I'm like reading through them. I'm just like, I don't understand these because I have not seen this movie. But essentially, the premise of the movie is that there's like a last man standing duel to the death. And mm-hmm. I guess like that's the song that plays at the very end. And it's just poetic that, of course, Jerry would have Who Wants to Live Forever.
Well, that about does the episode, and definitely a couple things I still want to talk about. But as far as overarching plot, the only thing we really got was which I'm don't get me wrong, I'm happy about, because usually at this point of the season, usually through the first like five episodes of the season, you get nothing. And we've already had two mentions of Beth's mother, and I just thought that was awesome. I don't even think I caught it that much the first time through, but when I was taking notes again and I wrote that down, I was like, damn, they're really hinting at that. And it could be a theme for the season. That could be something we could plan on seeing at the end of this, you know, season five.
The one storyline that they left us on a cliffhanger, I think it was season four, can't remember, it was the one where Jerry and the talking cat just like go to Florida mm-hmm. and they fucking go to that party. At the end, they realize that Rick scans the cat's brain and sees the memory and pukes. It's so horrific that he pukes. And then Jerry looks at it and pukes, but Rick wipes his memory. Mm-hmm. I really hope that comes back this season.
Okay.
It could totally not at all. It could be like two seasons later, but that's just the one that I'm dying for, because we did get that Beth wrap up.
I'm really hoping that we get just some shot of Evil Morty, Eyepatch Morty at some point.
Yeah.
Because that was what you were.
Was he
say.
In it last season, or was it two seasons ago that just made his last appearance?
It might have been two seasons ago. And then
it was the Atlantis episode, right? Where the fake Atlantis episode?
Well, that wasn't even Eyepatch Morty, was it? The one that was just another Evil Morty that like took over.
Really? I thought that was supposed to be the Evil Morty that ends up being basically
the president
of
the
all
Citadel.
The
president of the Citadel. That's him.
That's him. Yeah.
Oh, it is. So the
that
same
was season
one.
Four though, right?
He is in the train episode, but I thought that whole thing didn't really count.
Yeah, it I don't think it did.
So if you don't count that one, I'm pretty sure it's been since the Atlantean Citadel episode. So it would be nice if he made another appearance. Do you think we're gonna get Phoenix Person this season?
That's what I was gonna say. I think so. Last time we saw him, Rick was working on him in his basement. It was after the Beth controversy.
Yeah, it was the last scene of the season.
Yeah, true. The finale. He was like, man,
the last thing.
Yeah, okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
We have to then.
So the actual last thing we're gonna do here is like we did for the first episode, a round table just real quick of what you guys give it out of 10. I know on average, I think we all gave it an 8 out of 10 for the last episode, for episode one, but for this one, I'm kind of leaning a little bit lower. I enjoyed the first one more. I feel like the first one had more rewatch value and it was funnier. So I'd like to give this one a 6.
I think I gave the first one a 7.5. I'll give this one, yes, a 6 is fine with me. I was going to say 6.5, but I think 6 is fine.
Mm-hmm. I honestly think the writing is pretty...
6.5. Sorry, go ahead.
I'll start at that and it changed your opinion.
6.5.
I think, like you were saying, this may not have been the most laugh-like provoking one, but the writing itself is pretty genius. Mm-hmm. So on that alone, I have to give it like a 7.5 just because I'm like, no way is this like, are they going this way? And then they're always just so good.
If I went back and rewatched all Rick and Morty, I think the lowest I'd give an episode is a 6, 6.5. Like, I don't think it would ever.
It's Rick and Morty. So when I'm saying 6, it's still fantastic television. It would need to be like a 2 or lower for it to be actual bad TV.
I just don't think they're capable of that.
Rick and Morty, quality over quantity. And I'm so glad they're sticking to it.
Yeah. I'm still saying that we're 2 for 2 so far. The season's been great.
All right. Well, that's going to be it from us today. We always love talking Rick and Morty. You can find Bingetown TV all over the World Wide Web. We're on Twitter, Instagram, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Patreon. Subscribe and follow us on all those handles. We have a great website keeping you up to date on new podcasts and TV episode things. So that's www.bingetowntv.com. BTTV out, y'all.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.